Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
Hello and welcome to BK Media Entertainment. We are live on Blog Talk Radio. My name is BK. As always, I'll be your host this afternoon. Today I have an amazing author with us today. Her name is G.A. Hauser, and she has written quite an extensive list of books. I'm so excited to have her on today. Welcome, G.A. How are you?
I'm fine. Thanks for having me on.
Wonderful, wonderful. We're so happy to have you here. I just love all your books. I love everything. I read Of Wolves and Men, and I did a review for you. That book was amazing in itself. Why don't you go ahead and tell us a little bit about you first so everybody can see why I'm saying you're so amazing.
Well, that's kind of hard for me because I'm a very modest person, but I appreciate the compliment. It's very nice. Actually, I think the most amazing thing I've ever done is not being a writer. It was being a police officer, but I guess that's a past life now.
Wow. Was something I didn't know.
Yeah, there you go. If you read that, you actually put me on your website, and I have my biography is right there, so it says it. So you got to do your homework, young lady.
You're right, I do. Well, I was looking at the books. I didn't, because I had your bio from your media kit, so I didn't have that in there. So that's why I didn't look at it here.
Forgiven then. unfortunately, when you go to my website and you start to look at the book covers, it is distracting, so I totally understand.
Right.
Well, what would you like
That's
to know?
For sure. Well, why don't you tell us, first of all, because you have such an extensive list, my big question on my brain is, when did you ever decide you were going to be a writer?
You know, wasn't really a conscious decision. I wasn't young and in school, and I thought in my head, this is what I want to be when I grow up. I actually wish I had, but it didn't happen that way. Unfortunately, when you're 16, 17, you're taking all your pre-college courses, it's a really bad age to try to decide what you want to be for the rest of your life, and I know some people have some goals in mind. I went to art school, and I painted and I sculpted, and that was pretty much what I did, you know, for all my art career was in college, and after that, I was hoping to paint for a living. That's just ridiculous. Nobody does, do they? Or very few people. So I guess I actually had to work, and that's when I sort of started flopping around and did all these different crazy jobs. I worked with a jewelry company in Seattle where I was a gemologist, and I got my degree through correspondence with GIA, the Gemological Institute of America. So I'm a diamond grader, colored stone identifier. I mean, I could do all that. If you want to buy a diamond ring, bring me. I've worked in a library. I've worked in a post office. I've worked, as an aerobic instructor, as a cop. You see what I'm getting at?
Yes. What made you decide to be a cop? What drew you to that career?
Well, at the time, while I was still working for the jewelry company, the retail jeweler, they had, I don't know, 40 or 50 stores. And one of the guys from the shipping department was starting to test to become a cop. And I can't tell you the fire in his eyes. It was just so exciting. So I just thought, you know, I need a change. I'd been doing it for about 10 years, and I thought, what a great idea. And it was kind of a joke because, you know, I was always this hippie child. You know, I went to art school, and I was, you know, I admit I did smoke pot, things like that. And I just never thought they would accept me. But sure enough, you know, even through the lie detector test, going, yeah, I did. They took me anyway.
That's awesome.
It was kind of scary that they allowed people like me to become police officers and carry really big guns. But, you know, they're madness. What can I tell you? They trusted me. But I did a good job for them, so I guess they have no regrets.
Well, that's good. I love
Seattle
that.
Seattle was very safe. You know, it's funny for a time, because I was so environmental-minded, it was illegal, obviously, to harm animals. It's a felony in most states. So a call would come out over 911 dispatch of somebody shooting BB guns at geese, and nobody would answer up but me. And they would call me Enviro Cop because I'd go running to help all the animals.
I love it. Well, somebody has to stand up for them, right?
Well, that's what I thought. I thought, hey, you know, they don't have a voice, and if I can be there to, you know, and I actually arrested a young man and had a little baby corpse of a sparrow with a bullet in its chest, and I thought, oh, God. And all the cops are looking at me like I was out of my mind arresting a kid with a BB gun, but I did. It was a felony, too.
That's awesome.
I was very upset.
Well, somebody
had
to teach
him,
too.
<I know>. So that was a very interesting career. You know, unless you have walked in a police officer's shoes, you can't criticize anything they do. It's a very, very tough job.
Right. I believe that. 100%, yes. So what got you into writing? When did your writing start? When did you first start writing?
You know, the funny thing was I was an avid reader. I guess I still am, though I do read a lot less because I'm at the computer all day. But I loved a certain genre. And at the time I was looking for it, which was obviously it's what I'm writing now, it's the gay erotica, there was a really big gap between books that just didn't go anywhere. You know, they sort of stopped at the bedroom door and they didn't even show two men kissing in their text, to porn, which I had no interest in at all because porn bores me. I mean, I just, you know, it's just nothing. There's no storyline. So I was,
right.
Every day I was spending, and we didn't really have Amazon in the good old days, but I was spending a lot of time in the bookstores trying to figure out where I could get this from, you know, where would I satisfy this craving I had to read this stuff. And I thought I was very unusual because I didn't speak to other people about, you know, do you want to read gay fiction? It just wasn't something I was comfortable talking about, you know, being married and straight. So I couldn't find it. I guess sort of Anne Rice, Interview with a Vampire, Cry to Heaven. You know, there were little dribs and drabs here and there, Edmund White a little bit, Mary Renault, tiny bit there. And I thought, oh, you know, screw this, I'm going to write one. And I actually didn't have any intention on publishing it. And I just sat my butt down at the computer. And I just wrote the kind of book I wanted to be able to buy on the shelf. That was really how it started. And it ended up being a trilogy with some of the characters that are in my books now, but they'll never be published because it sort of evolved. Obviously, that was a while ago. But that was really the start, is trying to find the book that I wanted to read.
And that's another question that I had for you, too, because you are one of the first ones to bring out the gay erotica in novel writing. What does that feel like? And, you know, you kind of sort of set the trend there. What is that like for you?
You know, that's ironic. I've obviously just been working and working and working. I'm sort of like, I feel like sometimes I'm in a tunnel. And all I can see is my computer screen and the amount of effort that I've put in. But when I suddenly realize that people are calling me the queen of the genre, things like that, my mouth hangs open because there are a few of us who began, you know, like Stormy Glenn, she's another one. I mean, there are some writers who began when I did and have just put out so many books and really opened up this field for the new writers who are very interested in writing this. And again, there's like a few of us that have, I guess, been the pioneers and opened this up for everybody. And I get satisfaction. I want to help people. Anybody that has needs any advice on how to do it, where to do it, I'm sure they always know they can come to me, and I will always be there for them. But I guess pride is all I could tell you. The fact that I feel like I've opened up an area that has been, you know, blindsided, and it's the same way in some other media now. Obviously, this is the beginning, is the romance books, but, you know, hopefully it'll broaden. And
right.
I guess I just wrote a blog yesterday that I posted about, you know, thinking about, I'm up to my 70th book coming up the end of this year, and thinking back on all the topics that I've hit and how long I've written and the changes in the political climate and gay male particularly, obviously women as well, lesbians, but it's just that I think my heart really is into same-sex marriage and equal rights, you know, the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I think my original plan was to write entertainment, but then it evolved in my heart to what the heck is so wrong with what these guys are doing, and that I think has become an advocacy for me. I've given to a lot of the gay foundations and trying to, you know, network to try to help and become a gay advocate and speak out, because I just don't get what the big deal is and how we've really come around with some very hardcore right-wing opposition now. And I guess my goal, new goal, and I guess has always been my goal, is for somebody who has never read a same-sex book, whether it's women or men, to go, well, that's, what's the big deal? These guys just love each other.
Right, exactly, exactly. I agree with you 100% because that's the way I feel about it, too. I'm like, who cares, you know? It's just everybody has their own way of life. They can't, you know, you can't help who you love.
That's it, you know, and I can't, why are we trying to impose our beliefs? It's like, it's mind-boggling. It makes my head explode. There are so many issues that are of high concern to us as human beings on the planet, you know, to getting along with each other, to the finances, to the economy. I mean, we can go on a soapbox here. And to spend so much money, time, and effort battling same-sex love, I can't rationalize that as logical. It's just inhumane. It does not make any sense to me. And we have so many other issues we can be putting our time and effort in. What is the deal? I know.
You are so correct. Oh, it's so nice to hear you say that because I completely agree with you 100%, and I agree that it is wasted efforts. What is the, like you said, what is the big deal? It's nobody's concern, and it's not like, and I have to stress this because I have gay friends, and male and female, and I have to say that it's not like they're out in public, you know, mauling each other to death or anything like that. You know, they might hold hands or something, but it's not like they're portraying anything different than heterosexual couples in public. You know what I mean?
Well, and usually they're much more reserved.
Exactly. And I think it's because of the ridicule that they might get from trying to show their affection with one another. But still, it's not like they're out there just flaunting it in front of everybody's faces, you know. And
you know,
like
if they
you
were,
said,
really, who cares? Who cares?
I know, but that's exactly what I'm saying. But they're putting so much time and effort into this, and it's not like they're out there doing that right now. So why not just leave them alone?
I don't know, and I call it an imponderable. I have certain things that I cannot get a reasonable answer to, and I'm very scientific, and I like answers to my questions. And you can ask, yeah, right? You know, you just want to know why. And there's nothing rational there. And it makes, like I said, it makes my head explode. I don't know if you know the Lewis Black, the comedian. I sometimes feel like Lewis, it's like he feels like screaming because there's just rational minds do not think that way. And to see the country getting taken over by irrational minds not only scares me, but I don't know what's happened to the silent majority of the normal human people who totally do not care about this issue. We seem to be very quiet, and we don't make a fuss, and it's all these maniacs who are throwing their fists in the air and making it an issue. And, again, it's one of those what I call an imponderable. I don't have an answer to that question.
Right. Maybe someday we'll get it. I don't know.
I don't know. All I can hope is that good will, you know, destroy evil, and that eventually, just like we had with the civil rights, where, you know, the blacks were put down, the Jews were put down. My God, there was eras of every, you know, person in history has had this unfortunate struggle to become just an equal with everybody else. And it's just amazing to think of it in our century that we're still fighting for this. I mean, it's mad, but I'm going to look back, hopefully, on this in my lifetime and say, well, that's done. You know, we went through it, and it's over.
Right. It almost makes you wonder what they're going to be fighting about for our kids when our kids get older. You know, what's going to be then?
I don't know. I can only hope that the generations to come are more in tune with, you know, the goodness of things. But, you know, you have to realize the haters are bringing up babies as well. So this is going to be an eternal struggle. I don't know if it's just going to go away.
Right. Right. Exactly. Oh, and it's just so sad to think about. It's horrible. Okay, moving on.
Yeah. Our soapbox, right?
Right. Well, I think I get just as frustrated as you do. I just want to, you know, just reach out and choke people sometimes.
You know, but, you know, ironically, I'm very fortunate because a lot of people don't have a voice, and I know you're a writer. You have a voice as well. And we do get to vent. I mean, obviously, I don't go on and on about it, but my characters sometimes do. And occasionally, they'll say things like, you know, they're pulling their hair out. And I do get fan mail from people saying, my God, you know, what is the deal? So there is communication and exposure in the novel. You know, pen is very, very mighty. We all know how words are very strong, very, very powerful. And I'm hoping that, you know, with my little peon views, because I'm by no means a J.K. Rowling, you know, or Stephen King, but the few people that I connect with out there in the community, they'll see the rationality behind what you and I both think is the right way to do things. So maybe by our tiny voices, even if we touch a couple of people, it's been worth it.
Right. Exactly. And that brings up the question, I was just recently asked if I think that, like, teens and young adults, if they are affected by the writing that they read. And I said absolutely yes, and I said not necessarily in a negative way, because it shows them how to treat people or how to react in certain situations. What are your thoughts on that question?
I know
that your books are more towards adult, but young adults like 18 and above can read your novels too, and I'm sure they're affected, but what is your thoughts on that?
I guess I think back to my own personal experience and the influence that some of the books that I have read have made on me. So I think, yeah, you're right. It is going to affect people. It's going to get us back into politics again, because there are going to be opinions on whether, you know, same-sex relationships or the history of gay and lesbian culture are taught to young adults. You know, this whole cyberbullying, the bullying, you know, I'm a part of an honorary board member of the Gay American Heroes Foundation, and their fight is basically to stop violence and murder against the GLBT community. And they're going to be putting together a memorial eventually, like the Rainbow Quilt Memorial. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, if anybody who is listening to this can please go to that foundation's website, it's Gay American Heroes, and help Scott Hull as the founder. The man has been amazing, you know, trying to get the word out there to stop violence, because the statistics are horrifying. And, of course, you know, now we're going to include that to young people. Recent history, people are being bullied to the point where they're, you know, I think the one was a gay video that was broadcast that these young people didn't realize they were being taped. And the youth obviously can be taught how to, you know, behave and what's right and what's wrong. And especially with the internet and we have such a huge social network now. There's no excuse that you can't communicate. So, yeah.
Right.
I mean, 100%, yeah. If we can just open up the young people's brains and minds to keeping open-minded, not being ignorant, accepting different, you know, religions, cultures, sexuality, that's the goal of most of these foundations, is to keep people aware and in the loop. But, you know, again, like you say, my books can only touch an adult. I'm an adult entertainment person here. But, you know, I think more, you know, there are writers out there who maybe, you know, can help with the coming out process, things like that.
Right,
but
exactly.
Yes, I totally agree.
You had said this, and I just want to stress this fact, too, is that you had touched that it starts in the home, and it does start in the home. You don't have, I mean, we teach our children right from wrong, like you said, and I know for my children, I have a 12-year-old, a soon-to-be 14-year-old, and a soon-to-be 21-year-old, and from the time that they were 2 years old, where they could actually sit down and read a book to me, I actually sat down and read to them about AIDS. I literally took pamphlets and books and read to them about AIDS. I read to them about sexually transmitted diseases. I read to them about not letting people touch them in certain places, you know, appropriate behavior and stuff like that. And it starts, and people might think I'm crazy because I started so young, but I actually did take a course on, you know, parenting, and that was one of the subjects that they touched on. So I was like, I'm going for it. And I'll tell you right now, my children, not a single one of them would ever harm a soul. They are always willing to help, and they'll do whatever they can to reach out and help and, you know, protect somebody, help them through terrible times, whichever. So it does start in the home. We don't have to raise ignorant children.
There you go. You're living proof. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we are a product of nurture and nature, and a lot of this stuff, well, I should say almost 100% of the stuff, comes from our parents. I was very lucky. I had very open-minded parents who appreciated independence. They did not use slurring, derogatory comments. We did not have an issue with anybody. And I guess I'm very, very lucky to have come from a family. I mean, it wasn't perfect, obviously, but we all are open-minded. Nobody has issues with anyone. And I think you're right. Teaching children, but, you know, even then, my mom and dad, they didn't have these books like you do, which you're very fortunate because I'm sure they're great and helpful, but they just were good people. So they taught us
right to
be loving, affectionate people and to respect others. And, again, you know, you're talking about individuals. You're not going to be able to reach everybody. But, you know, again, being a writer and having a voice, and trying, all we can do in our lives is try. And that's really, I'm not going to, there's, I have to put limitations on how much I think I can accomplish. And it, even if it's small, you know, you and I, seriously, you have put forth a generation in your children that are going to be good people. And that's really all you can do, really, in life. It's a lot. You know, they're
right.
not going to be draining society. They're not going to be hurting or harming others. They're not going to be in jail. They're not going to be draining on the system. And if each parent felt that way, obviously we would make an improvement. But that's just an unrealistic goal.
I know.
But you can only do it what you can do as you. You know, our control is very limited. We can control ourselves. We have limited control over children. You know, obviously once they get to be very independent, you're going to lose that. We have no
right.
control over our spouses and our boyfriends. I mean, let's face it. So, I mean, you know, our control sphere is very small. But if we can make even a tiny dent, ironically, that I didn't know what we'd talk about today, but I just wrote a blog on just karma, kindness and karma. Because in our
yep.
industry, you know as well as I do, that there are some authors who will give you the shirt off their back. They'll, you know, I exchange free promotion with people. Again, Scott Hall, the founder of that charity, and I myself, we constantly are doing things to help each other, promote each other. And when I see other authors with review sites or blog sites that tear a new author, particularly an author who has a premier book, and rip it to shreds, my heart breaks. Because why
yep.
is it necessary? You know, maybe they are insecure and they need to feel good. But, you know, really, as an individual, we can just, if we just do a little tiny bit, I'm not saying you have to go out and change the world because everybody knows that's ridiculous. But each one of us, in our books, put something positive, something that people, if they get one thing out of it, that to love, to accept. I'm not talking about, you know, going into this whole, you know, liberal, radical crap. I'm just saying open your mind a little tiny bit. I just think if each one of us as authors can do a little bit of help to the community in the writing community or the community outside our homes, it doesn't take that much. I mean, I don't have a lot of energy and time right now, but I can still do it. I mean, how hard
right.
is it?
Exactly.
I mean, really, right?
Exactly.
Like, look what you're doing for me, BK, right here. You asked me to do a promo on your podcast, okay? Well, that to me is just pure kindness. That's all it is, right? It is.
Well, that's one of the things I like doing is helping to promote other authors, too, so because it is difficult. And like you said, these review sites that tear these books apart, that drives me crazy. And another author that touched on that, too, was Laura Kreitzer. And the point being that we're not in the big, huge publishing industry, but I've even seen in those big publishing industries mistakes in those books. So you can't just, you know, writers are going to make mistakes, little mistakes, stupid mistakes, you know. Editors aren't going to catch everything. You don't have to tear the book apart just because it's missing it's using the wrong word or it's missing a period or, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
You know, how about the storyline itself and the
yes.
characters themselves? That's
yep.
how I review books, and I think that everybody should review books like that, not on what the format of it is. You
well,
know what
seriously,
I'm saying?
How petty is that? I mean, come on.
Right.
Oh, my God. You know, and I know, and anybody who's in this industry, you can have editors and anybody proofread your book over and over and over and over again, and something's going to get missed because the mind makes up for whatever mistakes are in the sentence, and that's why we have editors, because it becomes like colorblind. You can't see it after a while. But to be honest, I've never read a review where they've picked on an author for a mistake in the edits. Come on. I mean, that's just beyond ridiculous.
Oh, I've seen it. I was like, really? Oh, yeah.
And did it really make the person
crazy.
Who wrote? And did it make the person who wrote that reveal just feel so powerful and so wonderful that they were able to do that? I mean, was it really that worth it?
Well, that's what I would like to know too, because even what I had one of the authors that I reviewed for, and I absolutely love her work. She does also paranormal erotica, Tina Folsom. She had, like, a negative review when I first started reading her books, and she says, I just want to forewarn you. So I read her first book, and I went back to that review, and I messaged her, and I'm like, I so do not agree with that review at all. And this woman I think she was just afraid of erotica, to be honest with you.
That, you know, that's the, and unfortunately we've become very anonymous in our criticism. You know, on Amazon you just have to buy one thing. You don't even have to buy that particular novel. And if you have a vendetta, you know, in the beginning when I was, obviously 70 books later, it doesn't matter anymore. But in the beginning when I was a new writer, oh my God, I took all those reviews such to heart because they
right.
said your baby, you know, and I was crushed. So I know a lot of these new authors that are getting run over are heartbreaking them. But now, you know, to be honest, I don't really read them very much anymore because I have always said I'm like Marmite, and you either love me or hate me. And I can't please everybody, and I will never be able to. And I have some very rabid fans who keep me happy. You know, they tell me they love my stuff, and that's obviously because you know how much work it is to do this. But
yeah.
the few who don't like me, they're entitled to that opinion, you know, and if they really don't want me to succeed and want to battle that and use their energy towards that, that's fine. I mean, what am I going to do? You know, go ahead. But inevitably, they're going to make themselves look stupid or they'll, you know, something will happen. Again, it's this karma thing.
Exactly.
You know, if you go around ripping the shreds out of people because you enjoy it or you're jealous or whatever your motivation, if it's a bad motivation, this stuff comes back to haunt you. I really believe that. And I'm not religious, but I do believe there's a way of the world where if you emit bad stuff and you do bad things, something will come around and bite you, and you got to be very careful.
Yeah, that goes to the saying that my grandmother is very religious, and she was the woman who raised me half my life, and she always instilled into us, and it's from the Bible. I couldn't even tell you where because I'm not really, you know, I've read parts and pieces, but anyways, it's do unto others as you would have done unto yourself.
The golden
rule.
That
goes with the whole karma. Yep.
Of course, and that's one of my blog. I put live and let live. It's like, you know, don't be so concerned with how everybody else is living their lives or how it'll affect you because that's pure narcissism. If you go around thinking, that's going to hurt me, that's going to hurt me, how is that going to affect me, what kind of person are you? You know,
right.
And if that's your little small life, and it, you know, to criticize and to be nasty, well, then you're not a very happy person anyway. So I think karma's already done her magic.
I love it.
It's true because you look what you're doing. You know, I think we have like 4 minutes to go, but you're creating a positive venue. And your reward is that people will do anything for you now. I mean, obviously, anything you need, you want to put an ad in my book, whatever. So, I mean, this is the way it should be. People helping other people and then the goodness that you feel after you've done it. I mean, isn't it cool?
Yes, it is. Very cool.
Yeah.
And it's just it's not even to get it in return. It's just the point of being able to help somebody. The feeling that you get from being able to help somebody else, another person, is something that is indescribable.
Yes, it is. And I think more people should get off on that. I mean, it's like an adrenaline rush. And I think that,
yes,
unfortunately, people, our lives are difficult. You know, we know we're in a bad economy. People are losing their houses. I mean, again, we can go on and on about the misery that's out there. But it doesn't take a lot to just do one kind thing or say a nice thing to a person. But I think we've lost that. We just have.
Yeah, and I agree with that. We have it, sad. Real quickly, I want you to throw out your website and your blog. So if anybody wants to check out your website, which is amazing, by the way, and the books are very distracting, so don't go to the book section first.
You think that's distracting? Forget about my blog. Oh, my God. Okay. It's www.authorgahauser, and that's with an A, not a no, .com. That's my website. All the links that are live will connect you to either ebooks or paperbacks. The ones that links do not work are books that are coming. They're not out yet. My blog site is G.A. Hauser's blog at blogspot.com, and Facebook, just put in G.A. Hauser in the search, and you'll find me. And that's, yeah, and I think MySpace, too, but that's become a dead site, so never mind about that one.
It has, too, isn't it? I was like, oh, my gosh, that used to be so big, and now it's just, like, null and void.
Well, I think two brothers have bought it and are going to try to bring it up from the ashes. We'll see how they do. But BK, thank you, because this actually is my last stop on my virtual blog tour, and you've really made it enjoyable and ending with a bang here.
Oh, good, good. How about projects? Are you? What can we look for from you in the future?
Well, I've got 5 already written and ready to go, 1 per month. I do a book a month. I'm having a book signing next Saturday night. I'm going to be Behaving Badly with G.A. Hauser and friends. So you can imagine. Okay, it's going to be in L.A.
Right.
Yeah, L.A., West Hollywood at Book Soup. It's at Saturday night at 5 o'clock, and I'm actually, four of my cover models are going to be there, and I'm with Cage Allen and Patricia Logan are the other two authors. So can you imagine there's going to be four hunks wandering around signing our
book? Oh, my gosh, it's going to be so fun. Make sure you send lots of pictures.
I know, I'm going to try. I'm going to be busy, but I'm going to try to get somebody to help me out and do some photos. So that's the big news, is going to be signing in Book Soup in West Hollywood on Saturday.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, I wish you much success in the future, GA, and you can come back on the show anytime you want to. Just send me an email. You're more than welcome. I love chatting with you. You're such a pleasure to talk with, and thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me out of your busy, busy book writing lifestyle.
Yes, it is, believe me. But you too, and I very much appreciate the invitation, so thank you.
Absolutely. You're welcome, and we'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, you take care.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Again, I just want to throw it out there real quickly. Her website is www.authorgahauser, that's HAUSER.com, and you can find her links for everywhere on there. And also that website she wanted you guys to check out was GayAmericanHeroes.com. Get involved. Let's help these guys and help everybody get their voices heard. It's going to be amazing if we can all just rally together, like she said. So you don't have to do much, she said. Just get out there, check out, you know, jump on the website and see what you can do to help out, even if it's just helping to advertise, you know, for them with the event and everything, or just the website, whichever. Just reach out there, because we all can make a difference. We just, it's all about small steps. We all, you know, baby steps at first, and then you learn to walk. So, I want to thank GA for coming on. It was such a pleasure talking with her. Make sure you check out her website. Her books are amazing. I've got a few of them that I just purchased that are on my Kindle, ready to go. As soon as I get some extra time, I'm going to be reading some more of her work, because I just love her writing. So make sure you check her out. And thank you all so much for tuning in today. And if you have any questions, GA email. Her email is right on her website. You can leave a comment on her blog. Hook her up with her on Facebook. She loves to hear from her readers. And until next time, this is BK signing off.